Disgruntled Insider extorts UR Sniff Gang. PyPy and NPM packages deploy ransomware. Japan to carry out preemptive cyber attacks and the results from the latest Pwn to Own contest in Toronto. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Patrick Gray. And I am filling in for Claire Aird, who is off on a tropical island with her family for a well-earned break, the Lucky Duck. Today is December 12, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Proofpoint. Someone claiming to be a former member of the UR Sniff or Your Sniff malware group has leaked the real-world identities of three of the gang's members in a series of tweets last week. The account, going by the name of UR Sniff Leak, has also released snippets from the gang's internal chats, screenshots of some of the UR Sniff source code, and private messages sent via an underground malware forum. And the leaked messages discuss topics like money laundering and the war in Ukraine. The incident marks the fourth major doxing of a cybercrime operation this year after similar leaks also exposed crucial and sensitive information about the operations of the Conti ransomware group, the Trickbot Trojan, and the Yanluang ransomware gang. That rhymes, doesn't it? The Yanluang ransomware gang. Very nice. But this time around, the docs turned out to be actually a part of an extortion scheme targeting the UR Sniff gang leader. The leak was teased over several days. Initially, they targeted low-level UR Sniff members only, but the UR Sniff leak account stopped posting new content immediately after the UR Sniff gang leader agreed to pay a hefty fee. In a tweet after getting paid, the leaker claimed they'd made more money in a single week than they'd made in years. The Japanese government is planning to amend its national security strategy law to allow government agencies to conduct preemptive cyber attacks against threat actors they might deem a potential threat. In its current form, Japanese law allows officials to respond with offensive cyber operations only in the case of a military attack. Last month, the Australian government said it was standing up a joint Australian Federal Police and ASD, Australian Signals Directorate, task force that would be granted the power to execute preemptive cyber operations against threat actors that are likely to attack Australian organisations. Three class action lawsuits have been filed against cloud hosting provider Rackspace following its problems in recovering from a ransomware attack that hit its fleet of hosted Microsoft Exchange email servers. After keeping customers in the dark for days, Rackspace finally admitted in an interview that it might not be able to recover all of its customers' data following the incident. The company says it's also shutting down its hosted Exchange service and has begun migrating its customers to Microsoft Cloud email accounts. Now, Rackspace shutting down its hosted Exchange service will cost it $30 million a year in foregone revenue, according to documents the company filed with the US Securities and Exchange Commission, which means they were making $30 million out of Exchange hosting, which is somewhat mind-boggling. Wow. A threat actor has abused an exploit in the smart contract of the Lodestar Finance DeFi platform to steal more than $5.8 million worth of cryptocurrency. The platform says it's already recovered $2.4 million of the stolen funds and is working to secure the rest. Just like most cryptocurrency platforms that get hacked these days, Lodestar has offered to let the hacker keep some of the stolen funds and pretend the whole thing was a bug bounty. What a world. This seems to be standard procedure these days, but anyway, moving on. Australian police have detained four Chinese nationals as part of an investigation into a criminal syndicate involved in a new type of online investment scam known as pig butchering. AFP officials say they detained the suspects following a tip from the US Secret Service back in August, and that the four are linked to scams that have stolen more than $100 million worldwide. Officials also seized $22.5 million across 24 bank accounts linked to the four suspects and their gang. Also in law enforcement news, the US Secret Service and the Department of Justice in the United States have announced the arrest of four individuals accused of participating in BEC attacks and credit card fraud schemes. Officials say the suspects stole and laundered more than $5.4 million following a series of BEC attacks on US businesses that took place between April and June 2021. The gang also stands accused of using point-of-sale machines associated with companies registered in their names to fraudulently charge more than $3.4 million to stolen credit cards. Researchers with the SecDevOps company Phylum have discovered a cluster of 21 malicious PyPI packages and 5 NPM libraries that were installing ransomware, which sounds serious, but apparently this ransomware asked for the crippling sum of $100 in payments. And when Phylum wrote about the payload, in this case, it said the payload would attempt to encrypt files. So we're not sure how serious this, you know, apparent ransomware is. But anyway, the malicious libraries used names that were misspelled versions of legitimate packages. So this is typical typo squatting stuff. And they were hoping to infect developers who didn't spot typos during installation routines. Phylum says the same threat actor was behind both the Python and JavaScript campaigns. All malicious packages have now been removed from both the PyPI and NPM portals. Microsoft plans to end support for its Edge web browser on Windows 7 and Windows 8 on January 10, 2023. Windows 7 and 8 extended support will also end on that date, and Google has also announced that Chrome version 110 would be the last Chrome version to support both Windows 7 and 8. And that final release of Chrome 110 that will work on Windows 7 and 8 is scheduled for release in February 2023. So yeah, if you got Windows 7 and 8 fleets, get something in motion there. Security firms Checkpoint and Positive Technologies have both published reports on the recent activity of an APT group tracked under the codenames Cloud Atlas and Inception. Both companies say that since the Russia-Ukraine war began, the group has narrowed its focus onto cyber espionage activities targeting Russia, Belarus, and disputed zones in Ukraine and Moldova. See our newsletter for more details on that one, including links to the research. And finally, the fall edition of the Pwn to Own hacking contest has concluded. This year, the fall contest took place in Toronto, Canada, and focused on hacking smartphones, routers, printers, and other smart devices. DevCore, a Chinese pen testing company, took the crown this time round. After it successfully hacked a Sonos One smart speaker, a MikroTik router, and Canon, HP, and Lexmark printers. For its efforts, DevCore researchers pocketed $142,000, representing 15% of all of the rewards given out for successful exploits at Pwn to Own last week. And that's it for today's podcast. Today's show was sponsored by Proofpoint, and here is Proofpoint's EVP of Cybersecurity Strategy, Ryan Callenber, with some interesting info on the Sokolish malware and the awful, awful people behind it.
Hey, this is Ryan Callenber from Proofpoint, and I wanted to give you a quick update on what we track as threat actor 569. You might know them as Sokolish, historically associated with the terrible, terrible people at Evil Corp. This is a malware variant that is pretty interesting. They have typically done what we would call malvertising, right? So JavaScript that is injected into compromised but otherwise pretty legitimate websites. One of the interesting new tricks that they have added to the bag is that they are now not actually sending phishing campaigns through email in the traditional sense. There's not a call to action. There's no sense of urgency. There's no change your password. It's actually just a link to a real site that happens to be infected with Sokolish. And some of that is spread by a legitimate user, an aggregate service, think Google Alerts, or even marketing services without actually knowing that the page is going to lead somebody to a Sokolish payload. So, new thing to be aware of on that front. Once you do have an infected machine, you get the classic sorts of behavior. A rat will be delivered if you're not domain joined. And there's, of course, the possibility of ransomware if you are. Part one of our research is up now. Part two is coming soon. And please go check that out.
That was Ryan Callenber there. You can find links to all of the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Catch you on Wednesday.